Sometimes we need to get outside of our realm of understanding where we just live in that same humdrum little track and we just follow like sheep down this little path and we never step off the path and we never look anywhere else other than what someone has told us to look at. God give each one of us a mind. Is that true or false? We all have brains. And each one of us should be thinking with those brains. Even the world says most people, even intelligent people, geniuses only use 10% maybe of their mind. Well, why don't we get into some of that unexplored territory? Why don't we learn something with using this other part of our mind? If we've got an automobile and we only use 10% of the horsepower, we're probably going to get a ticket for obstructing traffic. True or false? You'd be slowing traffic down so bad no one could get through if you only used 10% of the horsepower of your engine. Don't you know we're obstructing the knowledge of God when we won't use our brains? Church world says, don't think. You just listen to what we tell you. God says, use your mind. I gave it to you. I didn't give it to you for no reason. Think. So I want to provoke you into thinking about what God says and forgetting about what church says. Because church system has nothing to do with God. That's man trying to get your money. So you know what? Let's go see what God has to say about it. Chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated from that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it's impossible to please God, or to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah was warned of God of things not seen as yet. Moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, and a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of the same promise. For he for a seed which foundation maker is God. Faith also receives she was saved the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims of the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. He that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. And by faith, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the commandment, departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured by as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, as by dry land, which the Egyptians assaying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down, and they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I say more of for the time should fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Japheth and David and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, and turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, their raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting the deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword, they were wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute and afflicted and tormented, of whom the world is not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in dens and to the earth. And these all obtained a port through received promise. God had them better than us, they us made my mind. For the evidence of things not seen. Well, let me show you just what it really says, okay? In the language it says, now faith is the essence hoped for. It's the essence of hope. Faith is the essence of hope. It's the very... hope is not there without the essence of faith in it. If I don't have any faith, I could hope for nothing. If I don't believe something could come to pass, I wouldn't hope for anything. Does that make sense? So literally it says, now faith is the essence of hope, the proof of things or an accomplished fact that's not seen. It's the proof that something's not done, but it's the proof that's in your heart that God said what he would do. See, we're not talking about things going on out here in the world. We're talking about God dealing in our hearts. And God said it's okay because he's the author and the finisher of your faith. Did God start this thing? Then that means he's got to do it. He doesn't have an option in that. So I can tell you to my father, Father, you can't leave me out here. Can he? He can't leave me out here. Why? Because he said, and God is not capable of lying. See? Now see, that's not hope to me any longer. Because I see an evidence of something. God said it, and I've seen too much evidence already in my life and in other people's lives that when God says it, it will be accomplished. But now, a lot of people run around and say, God said, and it does not come to pass. If you read your scriptures, he said, if anyone goes around and says, prophesies, God said, and it does not come to pass, what was the instructions with that word? Fear not that person because they're not a prophet of God. When they go talking stuff, you know, God told me to do this, and God said do that, and you know it's not what this book says. You just let it slide on down the road. Don't worry about it. Okay? But faith is the essence of hope, and it's the proof of an accomplished fact not seen. What did Jesus say is the last words he spoke on the cross? Well, then what's not done? See, there is the fact, the very button that people have a problem with. Jesus said it's finished, it's done. But I don't want to believe in the accomplished work of what he said. Is it done? It's done. Do I see it? Don't have to. I don't have to. All I have to know is God said it, and I believe God said it. Not out of just blind faith that I believe God said something because it was written in that book. God has proved himself in my life. That's what I got to go by. And see, you do too. Right? You have to know God's going to show you things. He's going to speak things to you. He's going to do things in your life, just little things to get your attention. So you know that you're not crazy. You know God's speaking to you. So it's something that is evidence or proof of an accomplished fact that somebody else don't see. Now I know clearly he says in here, you have eyes and can't see. In Mark chapter 7. It says, you have ears and can't hear. And he was quoting out of Isaiah. Why? Because most people can't see the accomplished fact. Does that mean it's not accomplished? It only means that they can't see it. Can blind people see what God has done? Spiritually blind people can't see what God's done. See? And blind people naturally can't see anything going on, can they? So we can't expect them to see what God has set out for the first fruit people that he's called to do the works. Okay? So, another rendition of faith. How do you get faith? Well, faith is a gift of God, but Romans 10:17 says something. Faith comes from
hearing the Word of God.
Hearing the Word of God. Okay. If I don't hear the Word of God, and there's people that run around who never want to read a Bible, they never want to study their Word, and they're running around preaching all over the country, they started out reading this thing, and then they got so smart they don't need it no more. No place in this book does it say throw it away once you've learned what it said. See, because the mind of humanity is the most evil thing on the face of the earth. Mine as well as anybody else's. And if I want to trust my mind, the book says in Genesis, if the heart of man is left to itself, it is continually evil. Well, then I want to trust my mind. See, that's why we got 25,000 denominations in church today, because everybody's trusting their own mind and not going to the Spirit of God. So that's why we have confusion, okay? No king here is there. So again, said that faith by now, faith comes from you hearing the Word of God in you. Do you hear me? It's not about me talking to you. It's when I'm talking to you, you should be hearing God talking to you inside of you. It's not just about what I'm saying. If I think that I'm going to tell you and I'm going to change the world, I'm missing something. If you think you can come in here like a little baby bird and set me feed you, you're kidding yourself. That's just a starting place. You need to study to make yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. You got to hear God talk in your life. Could I tell you things to do to make your life easier? Yes, I could. But you know what? It's not my place. You have to learn yourself to hear God so you'll know what's going. Just like with Mason falling. You got to let him fall. If he don't fall, will he ever learn to his equilibrium and getting around the world? You have to let him fall. You have to let him. You have to let him make mistakes. And your children are good at making mistakes. Adult children in spirit. People in church make their mistakes. It's okay. It's a gift of God to make a mistake because it's going to teach you how to do it right. Okay? So you've got to hear God in your heart, right? So verse 2, we go on into verse 2 and it says, because by it, what are we talking about? Faith. By the faith you obtain from hearing God speak in your heart. Not hearing a preacher speak, but hearing God speak in your heart. He's okay. He's not hurting anything. I can see. He's fine. He's just looking out the window. Okay. Because by faith, the elders did what? It says obtained a good report, but that's not what the language says. The Greek language says they testified of a good report. They testified something good to God. See, their lifestyle testified of something. It wasn't just the words they spoke, but they lived a life that was unique from what everybody else was living. Would you agree to that? All the prophets lived a life that was unique from everyone else, right? That's what we have to understand. So it can't be just a talking about the Word of God, but it has to be an understanding that sometime or another, this oil that God pours on my head has to run down my face, off of my clothes, and onto my feet. And it has to affect my walk in my life. See, if it doesn't, then I've never heard it yet. Until it gets inside of me, I've not heard anything yet. Everybody has these protrusions on the side of their head we call ears and hear vibration. But that don't mean we hear what God says. God's inside of us. But he's not external out there running around. He's inside of all people. But everybody's not been called just yet. Okay? Verse 3, through faith we understand that the ages, not worlds, ages, it's the word aeon, the ages were what? Not framed, but they were completed. The word for framed there is completed by the Word of God, see? Now, who is the Word of God? They said Jesus was the Word of God, and it said the worlds were what by Jesus, by the Word of God? Completed. What was the last thing he said on the cross? It's finished. See, people can't believe in the finished work of the cross. That's why there's no faith. Just because I don't see it with my natural eye, I can't see spirit. Can you? I can't see spirit. I can't see the wind. Can you see the wind? Can I see the effect of the wind? Yep. And I can see the effect of the wind, the Holy Spirit in my life. But I can't see that spirit. And neither can you. It's something by the Spirit only you can see. Okay? So we, through faith we understand the ages were completed by the Word of God, which was Jesus the Christ, okay, in order that, or so, the word so that, Larry, right there, should be into. Into things were completed by the Word of God. Into things, right, which are seen. So he took the Word of God and made it visible. Does that make sense to you? He took the Word of God and made it visible to you. And in John chapter 1, verse 14, said the Word became flesh and what? Dwelt among us. Something visible. See? He made the Word of God something we could see. He completed it, made it something we could see. And we saw and we beheld the body of Jesus the man. That's what he saw. That was the Word of God, wasn't it? And said, the things which are not seen, not made what? From things which do appear. And it was not made from things which do appear. See, Jesus, the Word of God, was not made out of dust like Adam was. It wasn't made out of something we can see, but it was created by the Word of God, by the power of God, by the Spirit. It wasn't created out of something, it was created out of Himself, not out of something seen. It was created out of Spirit. That's why it was created out of things not seen. And wasn't Jesus conceived by what? By the Word of God, the Holy Spirit. Didn't the Holy Spirit come upon Mary, Miriam, right? And became what? She became pregnant, and he became by spirit. It wasn't created by a man, by a physical thing you can see, right? But he was created by spirit. And if you can see this, guess what? You were too. Anyone who has been birthed into the Spirit of God was created the same way that Jesus was. The Holy Spirit comes up. See, you don't make a choice, like I was talking with that man yesterday in Walmart for an hour or so, and he said he had to make a choice and do this and that, and I said, no, you don't. I said, if it's up to you, we're all in trouble.
See?
Yes, he did. See? But he said, I made him think. So that's all I can do is make him think. That's the greatest thing I can do is make people utilize that other 96% or 7% that they don't use.
You ask him questions,
he just looked at it. Yeah. Well, but he had to go think about it. So he's going to have to think about that stuff. Okay? Verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. You know what Abel's name means? The mourned one. Okay. Mourned, like you mourn for a loss. Okay? Okay? So, he says that Abel offered to God by faith, what? A more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Okay. There's two seeds. The good seed and the other seed, right? And by faith, he was able to offer that. By no other reason other than faith. Now, why did Abel have faith and Cain not have faith? Somebody tell me that.
Huh?
He heard the Word of God, but it says God gives a measure of faith unto all men. But if he didn't give you enough to carry it through right now, that's because he didn't want it there. See, it's all God's choice, isn't it? God's setting up a pattern here. He's setting up a parable and laying it right in line, and that's just what he does. Okay? By which or through which he did what? Obtained witnesses, or literally he testified that he was righteous. The test, the faith that God had given him made witness that he was what? He was righteous because he obeyed God. Right? How are we going to prove our righteousness?
Now,
what we do. If I am a son of God, I'm righteous. See, there's no problem with that. God says we're righteous, we're holy, we're unblameable, we're not guilty, we're innocent. We know that. But the way to prove that to somebody is my lifestyle. Absolutely. And so we've got a lot of talkers out here, but we ain't got very many walkers. See, people talk that I'm a son of God. Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I'm a good guy. Well, how come your walk doesn't match up with that? See, there's the problem. And I'm not putting condemnation on anybody. I'm just saying, if I say I'm a son of God, then I have an obligation to live up to. And you don't measure yourself by me. You don't measure yourself by any other human being on the face of this earth. Who do you measure yourself with?
Christ.
Okay.
What would he do?
Yeah. What did he do? He's finished. He's done it. What would we have to do? Is measure ourselves to him. And if I am walking my life, and I know I'm covered by the blood of God, just like everybody else is, everybody's covered. He died for the sins of who? The whole world, okay? So, what do I got to do when I come up to a situation? I can either be honest here or dishonest. How long did it take me to figure that out? See, because the Holy Spirit dwells in me, I know already. Do I have to think about it? I don't even have to think. Well, how could you know what's the right decision? By the Spirit in me. See, by the Spirit in you. Now, I can overrule that if I want to be disobedient, but then I cannot be walking in righteousness. You see what I'm saying? It doesn't mean I'm not a son of God. It just means I'm a disobedient son. That's all it means. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's no condemnation. Everybody makes mistakes. That's what mercy and grace is all about. See, mercy and grace is about God's forgiveness. Like Dale started out with this morning. If you learn to forgive, God's nature is to forgive. Right? If God's nature is to forgive, then what should my nature be? Somebody does me wrong. What should I do immediately?
Forgive them and do good.
See? It should not even be in our hearts to retaliate or have revenge towards someone who does me wrong. If it is, I'm still dwelling in something called duality. I'm mistaken in my identity. I don't know who I am. I still think I'm a natural human being when God says I'm a son of God. Now, who's telling the truth? God says I'm a son of God. It's your sons of God. But if I believe that I am that natural human being, I'm going to make decisions in that thinking process. Mm-hmm. And a double-minded man is what? All his ways. See? I can't make good decisions out of duality. All I'm going to make is decisions that are in duality. Can't be very solid, can they? Okay? Where am I at there? Verse 4. Okay, they testified that they were righteous. God testifying of his what? Gifts, literally sacrifice. See, God testified that the sacrifice that Cain and Abel gave, rather, was righteous. God testified to it. So was it righteous?
Yes.
Absolutely. through it, he being dead, yet speaketh. Now, do you remember the story about Abel, Cain and Abel? And God walked up to Cain and said, Cain, where's your brother? He said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? He said, his blood cries out. See? And God said, because he was righteous, his blood cried out of the ground and spoke to God. Uh-oh. So we think we can hide something? You really think we can hide something? See, if someone's walking in righteousness and someone does them wrong, that blood will cry out to God. God already knew it anyway. But God's showing you he knows all things. You can't cover anything. It's there. It's on top of the table to him. There's nothing in back room or behind the door. It's all in the open with God. So verse 5, he goes on and says, "And by faith Enoch," which is dedicated, "was translated that he should not see death and was not found, because God had translated him, because prior to his translation or transferal, he had this testimony that he pleased God or entirely gratified God." Language says he entirely gratified God. How many would like to have that kind of a testimony? That I entirely gratified God with my life. You're the only one that can do it. You can do it. Do you know the truth? And you've got the choice to do it. If God gives you truth, you've got a choice to walk it out. Where people can come behind you and God will say, "You know what? Bob completely gratified me with his life." What a testimony coming from God himself. You think Enoch was something special? He's just like us. They're like passion, just like us. As long as we see this book as a history book, it's something way out there in the future or way back there in the history somewhere, and it was all about these special people and it wasn't like people of like passion, you missed the point. This book was written so you can have God deal in your heart. If you think it was about some special people back there and it's not for me because I'm just no ordinary person, you missed the point. God loves you and he wants to deal in your life individually, personally. He doesn't want to play this game of hierarchy like the church plays with. That's not God. Okay? Verse 6. "But without faith, it is what? It's impossible to entirely gratify God." See, so I can do all those little religious ditties that the church wants me to do. I can come to church and kneel and bow and slobber on an altar, and I can take communion, and I can have water baptism, and I can do all these little things and say their tenets and remember all their rules and regulations and doctrines, and I can go out and knock on people's doors, and I can hand out church tracts, and I can do all kinds of these little things that they tell you to do. You know what? I've been real busy, but I have not entirely gratified God. And the only way I can entirely gratify God is what? By faith. Believe what he said. That's all Abraham did was said, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted him to righteousness. Now, what's the difference between him and you? That's a few thousand years is all it is, about six of them. That's the only difference. See, you believe what God said, not what the church world says, what God says. And you know what? He'll look at you the same way he looked at Abraham. You're righteous. You're no different. If that's not true, then somebody put me out of my misery. You know what I mean? If that ain't true, somebody put me out of my misery. Just go ahead and take me out of here. Because he that, now look here clarifies it right here. Because he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that what? You know what that word diligently means? It means to crave, to demand, to require, to search for, and to seek out him. That sound like somebody just casually going to church? Huh? Does that sound like a casual churchgoer, one of the local religious social clubs? Is that what it sound like? Done to me. Someone who craves God. Someone who has a passion and a desire in their heart that I can't live without another communication from my Father. I need to hear him every day. And see, I don't have to have my nose stuck in that book to hear God. I can hear someone else talking and hear God in them. They don't even have to be church folk. Most of the time it's not. Usually when I hear church folk talking, all I hear them talking about some religious stuff that ain't got nothing to do with that book. Talking about the weather, talking about the stock market, talking about the war. I'm not concerned with those things. God's in control of the world, not me. I've only got one thing. By Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. That's so simple. He made it so simple that a little child could understand it. And why, when we get old, why do we complicate the matter with all of our stuff? It's just a bunch of stuff. Okay? But we got to believe that God is, that God exists, and that He's a rewarder of them who crave or demand or require or search for or seek Him out. Oh man, that's good. Verse 7, by faith Noah, being instructed, not warned, but instructed of God, of things not seen as yet. God told him, said, Noah, it's going to rain. It hadn't rained in 400 years. Do you know what all the people thought about Noah? Look at this bazoon out here. He's building a boat in the middle of a desert where these people had never seen rain. God said, build the boat because I'm going to flood the world. Don't you know God's speaking things to us that sound just as foolish to the world today? God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not changed. He's still saying things that's foolish to the world. But you better listen. Because just as surely if Noah hadn't have, how many people would have survived?
None.
But God knew he was talking to a man who heard him. And Noah heard him, and they thought Noah was crazy. But see, he was that word warned, literally he was instructed of God, or by God, of things not yet seen. He moved with what? It's not fear. He moved with reverence and awe of God, of what God was going to do and that He chose him. It's no different when God chooses you today as when He chose Noah. You got to realize this. It's not as simple as like, oh, I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. That's not why God does anything. That's foolishness. That makes God an imbecile if it's just trying to get you saved. That's not what it's about. He chose Noah for a reason, to accomplish something. Right? He's choosing you to accomplish something. These men and women are only examples of your life. When you see Noah in there, you put Liz in there. You put Helen in there. Phil in there. Steve, Dale, all of us. That's you. This is your life. God chose me to deliver creation. And if I don't deliver this creation, I'm surely not going to deliver anybody else. See, I got to get me straight first. And if I can't get me straight, I surely can't get you straight. Because if I'm telling you carnal things out of my carnal mind, all I'm giving you is carnality, and carnality is death by this book. I've got to get into the heavenlies, and I've got to have a message to give humanity that brings life to humanity, not this carnal intellectual thinking. Sorry, that just won't work. It won't bring anything but death to you. You already got that. Why would I give you more death? I want to give you life. I want to change your life. Okay? But he worked with awe and reverence. He prepared an ark to the what? To the saving, not saving, but delivering of his house. What did he save? Did he save the rest of the world or did he save himself? He just saved himself. Saving the house was himself. You know, he was the head of the house. He saved his house. His wife, his three sons, and their wives. That's all he saved. See? And see, if your focus is on the whole world and you're not taking care of your own back door, guess what? Your house ain't going to stand. Guess what? It can't make it. And neither will you. It's going to go down in the flood too. Okay? You got to make sure the house is sealed up all the way around. Okay? And by which he did what? It says condemned, doesn't it? And literally the language says this a little deeper. It says, by his example he rendered that the world's wickedness was more evident and censurable. That's what the language says. By his lifestyle of the way he lived, he judged the world. How are you going to judge the world? See, the church world says, oh, they're all going to line up in a big long line to this big throne up in the sky, and this big old gray-haired guy, big fat gray-haired guy sitting on this throne is going to say, guilty, throw him in hell. But see, that's not it. How did he do it? By his lifestyle, he judged them. And by the life he lived, through what? This whole chapter, it's on faith. And by living by faith, He proved to them that he could live righteous. And that righteous walk that he walked is the very thing that judged them. He never pointed a finger at him and said, "You're guilty." Do you know what overflowed this world? Tell me what overflowed the Word. The Word of God. The water. See, the Word was a flood that came out upon them. And they weren't prepared for it. They had no faith. And when you don't have faith, the Word of God can drown you. It can overtake you, consume you, when you don't have the Word, the faith in your life. And that's where most people in church get in and they fall back out, because they've never been given this key to faith, what faith really is, what love is, and what God really is. They're given carnality, so they go right ahead and they die. Sitting in their pews, they die. Dead things stink, you're right. Because they stink. Okay? But he said he condemned the what? Now, he condemned the world. He did not condemn people. Hello? This is the parable. He condemned the world. The word there is cosmos. The orderly arrangement, the thinking in the mind of humanity is what he judged. He judged that their thinking was wrong. And the only thing that could change that, if they won't be lifted up in the presence of God in that Ark of the Covenant, guess what? They're going to have to be overtaken by the force of this Word. And you've got two choices in your life. You're going to be elevated into life by it, or you'll be consumed by the Word of God in a more violent way. Guess what? Either way, you're going to make it. I got a choice. I'm going on up. See? I'm not going to be destroyed by this flood that's coming in. I want to be lifted up in His presence. And all I have to do is get in Him, get in the ark. And we're there. And if you know you're already in that ark, guess what? Not much of a struggle, is it? And became heir of righteousness, which is by what? Faith. Only way you can get righteousness is through faith. If you can't believe what God says, and you want to believe what the religious realm says, you can never be righteous. She could lock the door, keep him in if you want to. Okay? Verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should not receive for an inheritance, he should receive it after receiving his inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing where he went or where he was going. Have you ever felt in this life you did not know where you were going? Hello? He locked it. Everybody in this life who says they have a clear passage of where they're going is lying to you. Nobody has that clear passage of knowing exactly where I'm going. God said by faith, Abraham, take off. You travel for about 3 days. When you get there, I'll tell you where you're at. How are you going to get to God? You're just going to go where God tells you to go. You don't say, wait a minute. What airline am I flying on? Yeah. How much did my ticket cost? How long is it going to take me to get there? I can tell you. Anybody want to know how long it takes you to get there? You want to know how long, Bill? He that endures until the end. That's how long it's going to take you to get there. Right? Huh?
He wants you to go over the mountain. You want to go down the road.
To the end. Okay. To the end of your life. That's all. You're going to do it, he that endures until the end. See? And even in that passage right there, it's so foolish what church teaches in that. He that endures the end, the same shall be saved. If I'm already saved, why do I have to endure to be saved? If I already am. Stupid. If I'm saved, I'm saved, and that's the end of that. God didn't halfway save us, did he? He finished the job. Okay, it's done. Okay, if I'm saved, I'm saved, then get out of my way and let me go on and do what I got to do. See, there's a purpose in our life. That's what it's about. What are we going to do in our lives? But he became heir of righteousness by faith. So if you want to be faith, you want to have righteousness, you've got to have faith. And you've got to start believing what God said, not because it agrees with what your intellectual thinking is all about, but you've got to believe it because God said it. And I can tell you this right now. When God says anything, it's not going to agree with your intellectual understanding. It will be offensive to your understanding in your intellect. It's not easy to pallet this stuff. Not in the natural. And that's why most people kick it out. But you know what? If you can say, you know what? I'll swallow this bitter herb for a minute and see what it's all about. I'll chew on it a little bit. You start saying, you know, not that bad. Not that bad. After all, you know, it is going to bring something about. You'll get through it. Okay. Verse 9. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as a stranger, a strange country, dwelling in what? Tabernacles or tents with Isaac and Jacob. Okay? So he's going to dwell out there, and this is a parable too. He dwelt in a tent. That's to say, a body of flesh. And you know what he had in there with him? He had someone in there that liked to laugh and someone who liked to trip people up. Isaac means laughter. Okay? And in this body of flesh, God has a sense of humor. Look at us. Come on. God has a sense of humor. That's it, me. Hey, I used to work with an old man. He was never unhappy. And I was a young man, and this was tough for me. I'd just come out of the Vietnam War, and I was very frustrated and very angry and very violent. And this old guy just, his name was Richard, and he just laughed all the time. I don't care what you did. They made him the butt of jokes. He thought it was funny. And one day I just asked him, I said, how can you do this? How can you laugh when people make you the butt of jokes and make you look stupid? You know, I'd want to jump up and fight them, punch them, knock them out, kill them, do something. He said, you know what? I figure God's got a sense of humor. This is a man who didn't go to church. But he said, I think God's got a sense of humor. And he said, I'm one of the funniest looking things God ever created. And I look in the mirror every morning and I begin to laugh as I see myself in the mirror. He said, look how funny this thing looks. This is God. And that's what he said. This is God. And he said, I'm the funniest looking thing God ever created. And if I can't laugh at myself, I can't laugh at anybody. He said, you know, I like to laugh. I feel good when I laugh. When I get mad, I feel bad. And you know what that done to me? Even as a heathen, as a non-believing person, I said, my God, when I get mad, I feel terrible. Don't you? I don't get mad no more. Now, he didn't change my mind, but he planted a seed. He planted a seed in me. And I've never forgot that. That's been 30-some years ago, but I've never forgot it. Okay. Changed my life. It started me thinking. I appreciate people that make you think. And I like to think, and I like to make people think. And God does too. Because every time you ask God a question, he'll answer you with a question. So he's trying to tell you, think. And he said, these three, you know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, were what? Heirs with him. Isaac and Jacob were heirs with him of this promise. What was the promise he gave Abraham? Huh? He said he promised him a land, you know, who the maker and builder of all this stuff was God. It wasn't man. But he said, your descendants will be more numerous than the dust of this earth, the sand of the seashore, and the stars of the sky. Do you know what kind of a feeling would you feel if God spoke to you and said, don't worry about all the people that's passed before you. Don't worry about all the people that's coming after you. But in you, by your seed, I am going to raise up a nation that shall cover the whole earth. Mm-hmm. But you know what? He's telling you the truth. It's the same seed. But see, because it was never plural seeds. It was always in the seed. And it's the same seed that was in Abraham. If you're Abraham's seed, you've got that same seed, right? And in your seed shall the rest of the earth be changed. What you going to do with it? What you going to do with it? Just sit and look at it? Are you going to realize I have a destiny? It's See, if you don't realize you got a destiny, you're going to be sitting waiting on the bus. And you'll never get to your destination without getting up off your butt and starting to walk like Abraham did. You take off, and when you get there, I'll tell you. He didn't know where he was going. He just went where he was told. Take off to a land I'll show you. Go, go. How many of us would get up today and walk out here and just start walking? God says go, and you just get up, start walking, and you're going to walk for the next 3 days. And not a nice, comfortable temperature like it is now, but in a hot desert. No water, no nothing. Just take off. I'll tell you when to get there. Called faith. Called faith. Verse 10. Because, it's not for, but because he looked for a city who had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. This foundations, what do you think this is? This foundation is the Word of God, but this word in the language means beginnings. It means first principles, and it means truth, which is the Word of God. So he wanted something that was founded on God's Word. Why? Because he believed God. You hear what I'm saying? He believed God. That's why he wanted that. He wanted that foundation, something beginning, something with truth, and only one place to get it. Make God true and all men liars. Romans 3:4. Okay? Oh, this is going to get good. Verse 11. Through faith also Sarah, who was a princess, herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now, if you look at this as just being Sarah, an old woman, 90 years old, got pregnant, gave birth to a baby, you miss it. Hello? He's talking about you. And inside of you, there's a woman, your soul. And there's a man in there. And this man's not that aged that he can't conceive in you. He can have your woman pregnant real quick. See? When I quit wrestling with him. See? And he's talking about you're never too old to let that seed of God get into your heart. We have a man comes here 69 years old. And Bob asked me, he says, aren't I too old? I said, why? If you open your heart to God, how could you ever be too old? God will never turn you away. I've seen Bob's life change a lot in the last 3 or 4 years. A lot. So we have to realize that Sarah conceived past her age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Does that mean something to you? I had to be able to conceive this holy child in me the way she did, I have to do something. What is it? She believed what he said. She believed he was faithful. That means she believed him. See? And we have to believe God is true and faithful, don't we? Called faith. And by faith is when we start to come out. Okay? Verse 12, therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, Abraham, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Well, right there's the new covenant. I don't see any dust in there, do you? I don't see the dust. All I see is the sand and the star covenants, the two final covenants, the new covenant. The Holy of Holies and the Most Holy Place. The Holy Place and the Holy of Holies. Most Holy Place. And it says, which is by the seashore innumerable. And he said, these all died what? They had faith, but they died. And see, when people make stupid statements like, well, if you had faith, you wouldn't be going through any of this stuff. Well, show me one of these people that didn't go through a whole bunch of stuff, and God says, by his word, they had faith, but they died, not receiving the promise. See? What's his flesh got to do with anything? Nothing. We got to believe God. There's our faith, right? But having seen them afar off, see, they saw something. Now, do you think they climbed up on a hill and looked out across the valley and saw their destination? They opened their eyes. God opened their eyes in spirit, and they looked into the future and saw all the great things that's going on. See, we're all sitting around murmuring, complaining, and they sat back there and said, oh my God, look at the end. The only reason you can't see the destiny that you have is because you're looking at all the obstacles between you and the destiny. And if you'll lift your eyes into the spirit realm, you'll see beyond the obstacles that's been placed before you by your Father to train you in, and you'll look to the finish of it, and you'll say the same thing. What a beautiful sight. And you'll step over these obstacles because they won't be obstacles any longer. There'll be a production in your life. There'll be a producing of things in your life that's good. Just like you said, Dale, starting out. They're producing good things in there. It's tough, but boy, it's going to bring some good stuff out. Okay? But having seen them afar off and were persuaded and embraced them and confessed that they were what? Aliens. Foreigners. And pilgrims, the word pilgrims is foreigners. They were aliens and foreigners on the earth. See, this isn't my home. My home is in the spirit realm. Yours is too, whether you believe it or not. God is the Father of all spirits. Who does that leave out? Nobody. Well, then He's our Father, and we're going to return to Him, and every man goes in his own order. Then what's the big problem? See, only when I get my thinking involved in it and I'm trying to put somebody in where I think they should go, then I have a conflict with my Father. He knows what He's doing, doesn't He? I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to worry about anybody. Father has already got this thing taken care of. Everybody. There's nobody that God doesn't love. Okay? Verse 13. Is that where I'm at? No, 12, 14. Because they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, a land, not a land, a country, but the land of their nativity. When they say that they're foreigners and aliens in this land, it says, I'm not satisfied with worldly things. God, can you see it? This don't satisfy me. Can you hear me? This cannot satisfy you. A son of God has got to find his Father's place. What did Jesus say when he was 12 years old and he was separated from his parents when they went off for 3 days? He said, I must be about my Father. Whatever He's about, that's what I got to be. Wherever He is, that's where I got to be. See? That's why in Revelation 14, He says, there was 144,000 that had their Father's name written in their forehead, and whithersoever the Lamb went, they followed Him. It's wonderful. We got to understand, this is what God wants. We got to go back to where we belong. I can't be satisfied with worldly things. I like worldly things. Come on, be honest. We like them. I like the pleasures we have. I like driving nice vehicles. I like living in a nice home. And I like to be able to do things. But this doesn't satisfy me permanently. It's only temporal. I want something more enduring than these things that I can see with my eyes. I want something the Spirit gives me. And there's life in that. Okay? I'm going to get excited in a minute. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. How are you going to get back if you're not concerned about where you came from? Right? You can't go back someplace if you don't have a desire to go back there. You're never going back there. Didn't he tell Job, weren't you with me before the foundation when the stars sank, morning stars sank? Weren't you right there? Didn't he say he chose us in him before the foundation of the world? Don't you have a desire to go back and see what you had before? Could you imagine what God has got prepared for us? Eye has not seen and ear has not heard what God has prepared for those who love him. Read the next verse. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. If you just read Isaiah and don't go to Corinthians, what Paul wrote, Paul brought the revelation of it. But God now has revealed it. We can see some things by His Spirit. Oh, God. Where am I at? 16. But now they desire a better country. Uh-oh. It's somebody got their eyes open. Somebody remembered what? Who they were. They remembered who it was. I'm not a son of Adam. I'm a son of God. See, God was before Adam, wasn't he? So I came from God. I'd certainly hope so. Well, some people still worship Adam as God, but that's okay. You see, they desire a better country. That is a heavenly country. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, because he has prepared them a city. It's a heavenly thing. It's a spiritual thing. Okay? It's not saying it won't be on this earth, but it's a spiritual thing. All this natural stuff is going to be passing away. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried or tested, he offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, which was the promise. He said, you'll conceive a son. Do you know what Abraham's name means? The father of a multitude. Father of many nations. And here he was running around, and their name all meant something in that Jewish culture. And he's running around, and everybody says, Abraham, father of multitudes. He don't have no kids. He's 99 years old. What do you think he felt like? Don't you think he was ridiculed? And he keeps saying, God said, but when he was about 90, his faith dwindled. And he went and created an Ishmael. Okay. Faith is not something that's going to pop up like a mushroom in your life. God's going to say something to you, and you're going to have to sit on it and do the very thing, it's the very hardest thing for humanity to do, and that's wait. God said, he didn't say when. He said, you're going to conceive a son. And he walked away and left him standing there, and I could see Isaac's mind going, oh, glory, I'm going to have a son. What'd I say? Isaac was the son, excuse me. Abraham went up and said, oh, glory, I'm going to have a son. Hey, Sarah, let's go see what we can do about that son. It didn't work. And it didn't work for years. And more years. And decades upon decades. And finally he said, you know what? Maybe God meant it the other way. Let's go down to Egypt. Go back to the world and see if we can figure out a way to do this thing. Let's see if we can get a son created out of one of them Ishmaelites. One of them Egyptian people. Huh? Yep. And it was his woman's idea to give it to him. But it wasn't his wife. It was his soul, see. When we get back in those emotions and thinking too much in that realm, that's where we get deceived, and then we'll go out and build our own Ishmael. And you know what? Nobody can say, oh, I don't have an Ishmael. Because every one of us has got an Ishmael in our life. We've all built something out of our own understanding. And that's all Abraham did. He was trying to fulfill, he was trying to make God's word come to pass. God's word comes to pass when God says it's time. He plants the seed and he gives the increase. What are you going to do? Wait on it. When it comes to the field, you'll know about it. You'll be the first to know about it when he grows something up in your heart. Okay? Where am I at now? Tell me again. No, I did 17. Talking about Isaac. Okay? But Isaac was offered up. And one more thing I'll say that in about Isaac. When Abraham went to the mountain, he took his son, he Isaac got to carry the wood, same as Jesus carrying the cross to the mountain. The same mountain. The book says he went to a land called what? Moriah. You know what mountain Jesus was crucified on? Moriah. Same place. See? This is a parable he's putting together. And Abraham looked into the future 3 days off and he saw Jesus being crucified on the cross. So when he went up the mountain, God had already told him, this ain't the reality, this is the shadow and the type, and then you're going to just lay the pattern out for me, and my son will take care of that up there. Okay? And what did it say a little bit later? When he got caught going up there, and Isaac says, Father, here's the wood, and here's the knife for the sacrifice. Where's the sacrifice? And that's why Abraham could speak out of his spirit and say, oh, God will provide himself the sacrifice. Not a sacrifice. He will provide himself as the sacrifice. You know why he saw that? You know why he said it? Because he saw it. And that's what he said. These having not yet received the promises, saw them afar off. And Abraham saw the sacrifice afar off. And if you can't see it, oh, God help us. Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That was the promise. Through Isaac the seed would be called. Accounting that God was able or powerful enough to raise him up even from the dead, and from whence also he received him in what? It says a figure, but the language says he received him as a parable. Abraham knew what was going on. God showed him. And in the language it tells you this was a parable telling you about Jesus going upon the cross to die. Abraham knew what was going to happen. He knew his son wasn't going to. Even if he did, he knew God would raise him up. It didn't make any difference. He wasn't worried about the flesh realm of it, was he? He knew what the Spirit said. Verse 20. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, the hairy flesh guy, you know, concerning things to come. He blessed both of them. Now, that wouldn't be the church world, because if the church world was called to bless in his place, Isaac's place, you know what they'd done? They'd have blessed one and put the other one in hell. They'd have put Esau in hell, because he wasn't the good guy. And what did Isaac do? Who did he leave out? Nobody. Okay. From the very beginning, God's putting reconciliation through everything. That's his purpose. That's his plan. Oh, God. By faith, Jacob, when he was the dying, blessed both sons of Joseph and worshipped leaning upon the staff, the top of his staff. See, when he was dying, he blessed both sons. And it was the custom of the natural world to only bless the first son. He blessed them both. God's blessing both seeds. Just because it's in the natural, does that mean it's a spiritual blessing? You can have the natural blessing if you want it. I want the spiritual. I don't want the natural. Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah, I want both. But I want the spiritual first. The natural can come as it wants to. Whatever. He don't care. I don't care what he wants. Whatever he wants, I want it. But the most important thing is the spiritual blessing. Verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention, okay, of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Right? He remembered the departing of the children of Israel. By faith, when Joseph was dying, he remembered something. He didn't make mention of it. He remembered something. He remembered that they were not going to stay in the land of Egypt. This is a man who has a relationship with his father and knew what was going to happen. Didn't he? Ephesians 3:5 says, I'll never do nothing, but yet I'll reveal it to my holy apostles and prophets. And God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not letting anything slide by. If we need to know, he's going to do something. He'll tell us about it. See, I don't need to go around prophesying and throwing a bunch of stuff out there to be a prophet. That's Old Testament prophet. Ain't got time to go there today. We'll deal with that another day. Okay, where am I at? He remembered of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. He didn't even want his bones to stay in Egypt. Get me out of this place and take me where you're going. There's a better place. Verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid for 3 months. Kind of sounds like how many days? Three. That three is pretty prevalent, isn't it? By his parents. Okay? And it doesn't say parents in the language. You know what that word there says? He was hidden by his pater. He was hidden by his father. See, we want to think that's his natural parents. Whose plan was it that he be hid? His father, God. God hid him through his parents. He took them and used them. But God's idea was to hide him. Okay? Because he knew, not they saw, but the language says, he knew that he was a beautiful child. And they were not afraid of, and he wasn't afraid of the king's commandment, was he? We're talking about God here. They weren't afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years or grown up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to fully enjoy the pleasures, or literally for the occasion, for that occasion only, okay, the riches that the treasures of Egypt could give him. Now, what does it? What does that really mean? Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy, fully enjoy the pleasures or the enjoyment of sin for a season or for the occasion only. See, sin's for the occasion only. If I do something wrong, let's get into the natural realm so we can see. If I'm going to steal money, that pleasure of stealing that money would be what? It'd only be for a season, wouldn't it? Because when I got the money, it's no good unless I do what with it? Spend it. So it's gone, then it can't be a pleasure anymore, can it? See? So sin is only for what? A season, a small time, for that occasion only. And Moses chose that it wasn't worthy to be compared with what's coming in the spirit realm, okay? Esteeming, verse 26, or considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. What is Egypt? Duality. See, if I want to play the church realm in duality and say I'm a good guy, but I'm still going to live like the world, guess what? I'm in Egypt yet. And those treasures of Egypt cannot be compared even with the reproaches of Christ. The stuff you have to go through like he did. If you don't suffer with him, you'll not reign with him. Those things you go through are greater value, like you said, Dale, the hard things we go through are greater riches than what the world can give us. Do you understand that? It's greater riches than what the world can give you. Because he had what? When it says he had respect unto the recompense of the reward, is that right? Is that right? Literally it says, he was looking steadfastly to the what? Reward. See, he wasn't concerned with what was happening to him. Remember what I said a while ago? Look to the destination. Don't look at the obstacles in your way. And that's what he was doing. He was no longer looking at the obstacles of through Egypt and all the tough stuff that they were going to put on him, but he was looking for the recompense of the reward. Steadfastly looking for the reward. There it is over there. I don't care what's between here and there. There's where I'm going. I don't care if I go over mountains, deserts, through rivers. I don't care. I can see it. See? And when God shows you what that destination is, you can't do nothing else. Can you? My God, how could you do anything else? Okay, back to where we was at. Where was that? 27. Okay. By faith, he forsook or left behind duality, Egypt. See? How are you going to leave Egypt behind? By faith. You've got to believe what God says. Don't believe what your eyes tell you. Don't believe what your five senses tell you. Don't believe what your woman tells you. And I'm not talking about your natural woman. I'm talking about your woman inside. Your senses, your soulish realm. Taste, touch, feel, smell, hear, all that stuff. Don't believe it, because it's not real, is it? The only thing real is God and the Spirit. Okay? Where we be again? 27. By faith, he left behind or forsook Egypt or duality, not fearing the wrath of the king. That's the natural things. For he endured by seeing the one who is invisible. How did he endure? He saw the one. Just like Abraham looked afar off and saw the one on the tree. That's how he endured. How are you going to endure? By seeing the one that's still there invisible. He's only invisible to the ones that's not yet been birthed. Is that right? He's real. They just don't see him.
They're waiting on
him. And someday they say he'll pop up, and he will. In a way they expect, but he will. Okay? Through faith, he prepared the Passover. Not that he prepared Passover or the silver meal. Pouring he that firstborn. Now, do you want faith? He didn't do it for his own reasoning. He knew where he was going. That's first fruit. But he only did it for the ones coming after him so that God would not touch them because they could not see God and live at that time. The preparations had not yet been made. And all Abraham did was he continued the parable. He continued the shadow, the type, until the reality of what he saw afar off came to existence. That's all he did. He was keeping everyone else covered. What is the Son supposed to do? Jesus was not the condemner of the world. He was the Savior of the world. By this Scripture, today a Savior is born to the world. not a condemner. Right? Oh, gosh. There's a bunch in here. Jeez, help me. By faith, they crossed the Red Sea. Come on. Adam, humanity. You cross through the Red Sea by faith. That's what he keeps trying to tell you. How many times does God have to say, faith, by faith, by faith, by faith? I can sit there and say it for the rest of the day. Would you hear it? By faith. You've got to hear it in your own heart. The only way you're crossing the Red Sea is by faith. The only way you're going to be righteous is by faith. Faith comes from hearing the Word of God. That means you've got to believe what He said. There's the key. I know everybody says, I believe, but you believe things that God didn't say. You believe what people say. You've got to believe what God says. Okay? By faith, they crossed the Red Sea, the sea of humanity, as by dry land. That means they walked over with no problem. They walked right through it because God parted it, didn't He? Which the Egyptians, that's the people of duality, attempted to do, and they were what? They were drowned. 1 Peter 3 and 20, there were 8 souls saved as by water. What happened to the rest of them? Same water. The same word that brings you to life will bring others to death. Because it's not yet their time. And when we try to do it any other way than by faith, guess what? We're going to end up the same way as those Egyptians did. We can't cross this sea of humanity without one thing. Faith in God. What's this whole chapter about? Faith. You can't do it without the faith. By faith, the walls of Jericho. Jericho was a place of fragrance. You know what that is? Jericho's you. There's a big wall around you called flesh and humanity. And until faith comes to tear that wall down, you can't get to that place of fragrance which is in the center of you. You hear me? There's the Holy of Holies. It's within you. Every one of these things are parables that God's trying to tell us over and over again. You got to believe what I'm telling you. By faith, you can do everything. Oh, God. The walls fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the heart of Rahab perished not with them that believed not, because she had received the spies in peace. She believed what men were. She believed God. What? That's how. Yes, they were. And what shall I say more? For the time, because the time would fail me or be insufficient for me to fully relate of Gideon. And he means the cutter, and Gideon's the cutter down. That's what his name means. And of Samson, his name means lightning. And Japheth, which means like a son. And of David, whom God loves, okay? Beloved of God. Did I miss one there? Barak. Four. That's lightning. And then Samson is like a son. And Japheth is whom God sets free. And then David, beloved of God. And Samuel, his name is of God, or his nature is of God. And of the prophets. All these things, he said, I ain't got time to tell you about all these here. I'd have to write another book. There's just too much. Through faith subdued kingdoms. He's telling you about all the works these people have done now. They've subdued kingdoms. They labored in righteousness. Hello. That's because they had faith. And without faith, they could not have labored in righteousness, could they? They obtained promises. They stopped the mouths of lions. You know what lions are? In 1 Peter 5 and 8 said, your adversary, the devil, walks around as a roaring lion. Okay? It's your mind, see? They stopped the mouths of the carnal mind by faith. And you're not going to stop your carnal talking until you get the faith of God in your heart that overrides this natural thinking process. You got to take control of this thing and know that you have power over all the power of the enemy. You'll tread on serpents and scorpions, demons, devils, lions, whatever, and they have no hurt upon you. They can't hurt you. If you don't believe that, you're never going to do it. Okay? They quench the violence or the power of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness they were made strong. They become strong and mighty in warfare. They turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tormented or beat to death, not accepting deliverance, in order that they might obtain a better resurrection. See? Sometimes the violence comes to the sons of God. But they know that the only way to get to that other better resurrection is to receive what God gave. Did it say any of those people fought back when they were being tortured or killed? There's your martyrs. There's your martyrs. They never fought. You lose a battle and die in it, that's not being a martyr. Martyr is just like Jesus did. As a mute lamb, he went to the slaughter. You can't fight back. That's not in his nature. And only then can you receive the better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. I could go there, but I won't. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder, or literally sawn into two pieces. This was Isaiah, who was placed in a carob tree, a hollow tree, and took a saw while they were looking in his eyes of the people, and took the saw and sawed his guts in two while they were looking at him. You tell me you've suffered? Don't give me that stuff. We haven't suffered anything. This man was put on a hollow tree and took an old saw and ripped through his flesh and cut him in two. Don't tell me we've been suffering. We don't know what suffering is. We're spoiled plumb rotten in this America that we call a church. It's too much. It's too much for our flesh to endure. But Isaiah was sawn into two pieces. They were tempted. They were slain or put into death by murder with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. They were in a beastly nature. Some of them was good and some of them was bad. Some of them had some good things happen to them, some had some bad things happen to them, but they all died, didn't they? And they wandered about being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. That sound like the way we want to live? Well, I'm going to tell you, you can in God's way you will. Right in the midst of it. You can be sitting in a room with 500 people and be like you're the only person in the room. They don't see you.